This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, top stories of the day. The SEC has asked the NCAA to rescind a pending rule change that will allow athletes and athletic department staff members to bet on professional sports beginning on November 1st, according to a copy of a memo obtained by ESPN. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey sent a letter to the NCAA President Charlie Baker on October 25th, stating that during an October 13th conference meeting, the message of our presidents and chancellors was clear and united. This policy change represents a major step in the wrong direction. Do you think that Division I athletes should be allowed to gamble on professional sports?
I mean, they're doing it anyway, and they're adults.
Are they doing it anyway? Legally?
Probably.
Well, it's harder to do illegally than it is legally. Just more. It's so easy now. This is just simple. It's on your phone. You can go at any point.
Look, all it requires is for someone to sue the NCAA, The NCAA to go, no, we can't do it. And then they take it to court. It goes all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court says they're adults. They're allowed to do it.
Yep, that's what will happen, and you are right. The question isn't that, though, but should they be allowed to do it? And the answer, because of everything you said, is yes. Not because it's right. Not because, and I don't necessarily disagree with Sankey saying this is going a road we don't want to go. But the NCAA fought the players for so long. And now they're just like, we're getting sued at every corner, at every turn. So let's just the hell with it. Let them do whatever they want. Let them transfer whenever. Let them earn money from the school. Let them make money with NIL stuff. Let them do whatever they want. Because we can't fight it anymore. And that's, again, this goes back to the NCAA's pitfalls before all of this, when they fought tooth and nail to keep players from earning any kind of money. And then it backfired. And now they're forced to go the complete other way. Because now, agents and lawyers, they all smell blood in the water. If they're working with a student athlete, they're just waiting for another sanction from the NCAA to come down, saying they can't do this, and then they will go after them, and they will make money doing it. He said, Chris, can professional players bet on college games? As far as I know, yes. NFL rules are just that you can't bet on the NFL, and you can't bet at all on their facilities. If you're on a team plane or in a team hotel that the team is paying for, you're not allowed to bet on anything when you are on their time, so to speak, or traveling on their dime. But you can bet on, NFL can bet on sports outside of the National Football League, to my understanding.
And I imagine the NFL does not want, say, a Denver Bronco to give away trade secrets. Oh, hey, my friend here is only going to get a few plays.
Oh, about the NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can't bet on your own sport.
Well, I mean, like, to give that to a few gamblers.
Mm-hmm. But it can happen. It's happening.
It can happen.
Yeah. Dude, $168 million in buyouts owed to fired FBS head football coaches this year. $168 million.
I got in the wrong profession.
You got with Brian Kelly's $54 million buyout.
That's so dumb.
Why? Why would you fire him right now? I know it's bad, but is it going to get any better?
No, it's going to get worse.
Why do you fire coaches in the middle of the season? No one's going to come to games. They're going to boycott. And that was probably CSU's understanding. I don't have a lot of energy against John Weber and Amy Parsons for moving on from Jay. I do have energy against, or on the timing of that particular midseason firing. Like, if they would have lost to Wyoming, yeah, you could do it now. I don't really get the argument of, well, what if he would have won? You would have set up a false sense of hope. No, because talk to any Rams fan. 8 was the ceiling, or the floor. You got to win 8 games, and he wasn't going to do that. They said, everyone we talked to said, they have to be in a Mountain West championship game this year. That's how much pressure is on Jay Norvell. So I don't think there was any going back, whether he, rattled off a couple of wins late in the season. And who cares? If some fans are upset about it, a majority of people wanted him out. And that wouldn't have changed with two or three more wins added to that. Even the border war. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. $21 million for Billy Napier, fired from Florida. $15 million for Mike Gundy. I thought $15 million was a lot, Michael. But $54 million. What are we doing here?
Do you know how much I want them to hire Marcus Freeman right now? The Notre Dame head coach?
Yeah,
that would be hilarious.
Yeah, that would be hilarious.
Well, we tried one Notre Dame head coach. Now we're going to try another one.
Now they're trying to negotiate his buyout a bit, but this is the highest one. And then you have James Franklin's is what, 49?
So dumb.
Sam Pittman, fired from Arkansas, $9.8 million. Virginia Tech's former coach, $6 million. Deshaun Foster out of UCLA, $5 million. Trent Bray from Oregon State, $4 million.
I can understand UCLA.
Trent Dilfer, 2.4. And then Jay's looks like nothing. $1.5 million for Jay Norvell. Now, the buyouts are always subject to change in certain circumstances if they have that in the contracts. So, like, if Kelly or Franklin land new jobs, the school that fired them owe them less money. I know, like, for our guy, Mike Sanford, with him, it was... He couldn't go get another job anywhere, otherwise, because he was getting paid by CU. He was an assistant, and then he was an interim coach under Carl Durrell. Took over after Carl Durrell was fired. But in his contract, as soon as he went out and got another job, CU would no longer have to pay him. So if he received a paycheck from anybody, he was like doing a bunch of media stuff just for fun. He wasn't charging anybody. He was coming on doing stuff with us and. Now I think that's over. There was like a certain, I think, a couple years on that, two or three years. But, yeah, they probably have that a lot in here, where it's like, hey, if you go out and get a job quickly, so why would you be motivated to go out and get a job?
Is this a college thing? Would this just be, hey, if you got hired at another college, or
depends.
Could you coach high school?
I think it could be media, too. Yeah, I think if you go get a, there are certain contracts that are like, you get a job, and then whatever you're paid comes out of the amount we owe you. So if you go get a job and they pay you $20 million to broadcast college football games, then you less that from your $54 million, and now you owe them $34 million.
Or, you get a job at McDonald's making $12-something dollars an hour.
I think some contracts say strictly college coaching. And I think some are like, if you get any job, and I just know that because of the Sanford stuff. I think some contracts have, as soon as you get a job, we either stop paying you or we'll just pay you, we'll deduct that, whatever you're making. So
yeah,
it's a sticky business.
I just feel like if it's you get any old job and we stop paying for you, that's going to be the head coach just decides not to look for a job.
Sure, I wouldn't.
It should be don't pay, like, you pay him until he gets a head football coach job and then pay him less.
You put the buyouts in place so that they're not, so when they become good, and it's harder for someone to poach them. But in this case, it bites you in the butt. Because you put that buyout in place for Brian Kelly so that he's never going to leave. And then when he leaves, or when you make him leave, now you got to turn around and pay him $54 million to not be your coach. That's
how when you push him out the door, he's holding on to your wallet.
It's dumb. Just absolute stupid. For that. 1.5 for Jay Norvell. I get it. I have no issue with firing him in the middle of the season. I do get that. The timing is strange to me. Aaron says, if you're still owed $40-plus million from the school that just fired you, why would you be in a rush to get back into college coaching? Yeah, I wouldn't be. Micah, do you have a buyout clause in your contract? If not, renegotiate it your next review. I think hire Faith to be your agent and I get a cut.
Faith, let's talk about this after the show.
It's all about, Texter, it's all about getting the search process going. I don't think you can undermine the current staff by searching for a new coach. While Norvell is still in place, it would reflect negatively on CSU and John Weber and would ultimately hurt their own process. I have thoughts on that, and I'll touch on that later on in the show. Mike Broward's going to join us. I do want to talk about CSU-UNLV. They did announce their game time, but they're doing this the snow game. It's like the snow days. Different kind of logo, different kind of feel, different colors. I really like them. They're really sharp. I think they should go with those full time. 16 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Brohard coming up next. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Weekend with Rocky Mountain College kickoff. Fridays at 2 and an encore Saturdays at 7. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. Powered by Chevron, we are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Thanks for being with us here. We've got Mike Brohard on the First Advantage Hotline, Brohard from CSURams.com. What does Mike Brohard do on the bye week? Has anything changed for you, Mike?
Not really. I mean, everything else is going on, so you're working on that, catching up on some other things with my other sports that I do. Like I'll go up to Laramie again on Friday with the swim team, watch them compete. But, yeah, it's kind of standard.
Pretty much business as usual. Talk to me about, so we got the game time announced for the UNLV game, Mike, but I am excited about the snow days. What is involved with all of this? It's going to be like a weekend, kind of weekend-long celebration.
Yeah, they're going to bring in a rail jam and have that built on the intramural field. People can compete on that. There'll be some giveaways. The new uniforms have been released, so we'll have a specialty uniform for that. They're going to bring in snowmaking because it looks like, at least yesterday when I checked, it's going to be a 60-degree day. So Mother Nature is not going to give us snow, so we're going to make some. But, yeah, they're going to turn into a big-time celebration and of like Colorado's winter sports and everything that they have to offer, bring people to campus. Just do, you know, you bring people to campus and you just do something fun. You make the game day experience everything that it can be.
I like the logo. I like the colors, Mike. I think they should be the stand. I know it's controversial, but I really like these. These are awesome.
Yeah, why do you think these should be the colors? You don't like the green and gold?
I do, but I just it something about it, man. I don't know. I'm also like I like the pumpkin orange and the alfalfa. I like that too. I've also said that I think those should be the standards, but maybe I'm not. I don't mind the green and gold, but I kind of like some of these unique uniforms and putting the little snow cap there on the ram. I think it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I like unique uniforms, but I also think you need to stick with your tradition. The one thing I would like to see them bring back. My favorite uniform has always been the power pickle. We'll play with that at home, but some coaches haven't liked it, but I love the power pedal.
Mike Brohard joining us, CSURams.com. Rough outing over the weekend, Mike. You know, obviously that's a tough spot for Tyson Summers, for this entire crew. A lot of change, and sometimes you see a little interim coach bump, but that was not the case for Colorado State against Wyoming on Saturday.
No, and I think you got to look at the situation. And I think some people looked at what happened at UCLA, and then you look at what, you know, CSU did. Okay, both changed coaches, but I don't think the locker room was the problem here ever. I mean, the culture has not been a problem, never was under Jay Norvell. He built it up. So the bump might have been a little bit different than you might have thought when things weren't really chaos. But there was. I mean, there was a lot to deal with for that team that week. You know, John Weber kind of removed the elephant from the room, but then there's some emotions that go around with dealing with that, how it happened, when it happened, getting some goodbyes out, some other changes made, new direction being looked at. You got a rivalry game on top of it. It was a lot thrown on that team. And not just the players, but also the coaching staff. I mean, a lot of those people have been with Jay for a long time.
How is what is the difference you're kind of seeing around there with Tyson Summers, you know, running the show? Has he tried to put together a lot of big changes in practice? Obviously, we know the play caller decision last week. But have you seen any major differences from how Jay Norvell was running things?
I mean, I don't know what you consider major. Some of the changes that had taken place prior to the season were Tyson Summer ideas anyway. Is it a major change that the team stays on the same practice field throughout practice the entire time instead of, you know, splitting halfway through, some of them going into the stadium and then everybody finishing the stadium? I don't know. You might consider that a big change. It's still practice. So I don't know if there's anything that's been ultra drastic. Tyson's got his own energy that Jay didn't have, right? Because they're different people. They're going to approach things in different ways. And I've known Tyson for a long time. He just really does have, he's got his own charisma style. He's got his own character. He's got his own way of approaching things. And yeah, it's an alteration from the way that Jay handled it, because they're different personalities. So there's going to be change.
What would you like to see from this team? You know, four games remaining, UNLV at New Mexico, at Boise State, and then finish it off against Air Force on Friday, November 28th. It's such a strange question, I guess, and probably an interesting response. But what would you really like to see from this team, aside from the obvious? Just go ahead and win out, feel good about how the season wrapped. But individually, with certain players or coaches on this staff, we know it's big changes are coming. But for you, Mike, what would you like to see?
I'd just like to see this team find its way offensively. I think that's the one thing that everybody's been kind of waiting for this year. You know, you've got a good stable of running backs, yet you're still only averaging 140 yards a game on the ground. You haven't had a quarterback throw for 200 yards in a game yet this year. You had the one outlier that was Fresno State when you get six offensive touchdowns. But outside of that, there hasn't been that explosion, right? There's been some late pushes, you know, in games, UTSA, you know, Northern Colorado, Hawaii, where you put some points on the board late. But you would just like this offense to kind of find its identity. They're averaging less than 20 points a game, and that's not anywhere where anybody thought this offense was going to be.
Yeah, it'd be nice to just gather up some positives as we round out the season. Speaking of positives, I'm pretty excited to see on this the new era for CSU men's basketball, Ali Farouk Manesh, and how the regular season is going to look. Any thoughts on Ali in this first year? I mean, what kind? I don't imagine there's really a lot of pressure on him. I know that they've been a darn good basketball team for the last several years, but it just seems like fans, this is one of those obvious ones. Everyone agrees Ali was the guy. What are your expectations for this team this year, Mike?
That's a good question. I expect them to – I think they're going to be competitive, and I think they're going to work their way through non-conference, learn to find themselves a little bit more. There's still some things that they were very happy with in the exhibition with Creighton. There's also things that they felt like they still need to get a little bit better at, but they didn't see anything that was like a glaring type of thing for them. And that's a really good start, and that's a really good place to be in. I think they're going to adopt – Ollie's personality, and Ollie's personality is a very positive person. He's going to go get it in his own way. I think his team will follow that. I think this team's going to be competitive in the Mountain West.
I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to see kind of what touches Ali Faroukhmanesh puts on this team different. You know, obviously he's got similarities to Nico Medved, but I'm curious to kind of see what those differences are as we progress. I need to get out to a practice, but I'm just interested to see how his practices look, how he is in practice too.
Their practices are fun to watch. They are very tempoed. They're very work driven. And again, Ollie's got an energy to him that I think, from what I've seen, the players are, it's infectious for them. And so practice, things get done in practice. I'm not saying that they didn't against Nico, they just get done in a different way, but it's also Ollie's personality. Like, again, like I said, he's a very positive person. He's going to correct some things. He does it in a very positive manner. And he's just, you know, his personality is kind of fueling what goes on in practice.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Mike, what do you have for us the next couple of days? I know on the football side we got the bye week, but as you said, business as usual for you. What are you working on that we can check out a little bit later on?
Well, my intern wrote a really nice story today about the men's basketball team and how a lot will feel familiar, and even though that there are changes on the roster. I've always been fascinated. I'm going to work on a story on the equipment staff for the football team, because I don't think behind the scenes people understand just how great those students are, how great Shannon O'Hara is, and what she's done. She's one of only four women in FBS that runs a football equipment room. They are very fascinating, and they're very well organized staff because of her. So we're kind of starting on that. And then again, like I said, you've got a little Wyoming stuff going on this week still. Soccer team's going to clean up its regular season. They're going to go up to Wyoming on Thursday, and then they'll head off to the Mountain West Tournament, and then swimming will go up and compete against the Cowgirls up there on Friday on Halloween.
What's your favorite Halloween candy, Mike? What's the go-to for you?
Like specific Halloween candy or just candy in general?
I don't know. Is there, like, what do you classify as Halloween candy?
To me is like candy corn. Right?
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Nobody thinks about it outside of Halloween.
That's true.
So, and probably nobody should think about it.
I'm not a candy corn guy.
But Reese's Cups. You got to go with Reese's Cups.
Good choice. Oh, look at that. Susan and Cheryl back there, the live studio audience. Love that, Mike.
Michael agrees.
Blue Jays or Dodgers tonight, Mike?
Dodgers.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, here's my question for you. Are you actually watching the World Series?
No. I watched the Nuggets last night, Mike. I could have stayed up late and watched the game, but I was tired.
I stayed up to the very bitter end because you knew something dramatic was going to happen. I can't believe all you quitters around here just gave up after like 9-10 innings.
I'm tired, Mike. I'm tired. And the Nuggets they made me happy, so I wanted to end on a good note. I didn't want to see the Dodgers. I know. Well, what time is that tonight? 6 o'clock on Fox? All right. I'll watch tonight. I'll text you.
That's what you say.
No, I'll text you. Just look out for it, okay?
If it goes 18 again, are you going to stay up for the better end?
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I will. I'll do it for you.
Okay. Don't be a quitter.
I'll make that commitment today on the show. All right. Mike, appreciate you, my friend.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. Michael, what is your go-to for Halloween?
Oh, Reese's. That is the answer. It's scientific fact that Reese's is not only the best Halloween candy, but it is the best candy.
Really? I don't think so. What is
that? Well, you hate science.
No, I like the whatever those sour straws are, whatever those things are.
That's movie candy.
That's good candy.
You know, when I worked at the Cooper Twin,
you
many
worked at
years
a movie
ago
theater.
When it existed.
Yeah. Where, in Greeley?
Yeah. It's a church now. But I used to be able to sell a bunch of those.
Really?
Oh yeah.
You did so well at that movie theater that they shut her down.
Well, like the movie theater wasn't doing well anyway.
What was your role at the movie theater?
It was basically everybody else's role, just concessions, clean stuff.
What did you do with the posters? Did you get to keep the posters?
I think I got to keep one of them, but I don't know where it is. I think it was the 2001 Planet of the Apes, which was a terrible movie.
Pretty bad.
But man, Danny Elfman really went like far and above.
What's that?
Danny Elfman is the composer.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a chance to listen to
I won't.
Danny Elfman. Wow.
I won't have that chance, unfortunately. So you worked at a movie theater. Did you have to go clean up the theaters, like the movie rooms and stuff after people were done in there? I thought that would be a terrible job.
I cleaned those up. And then once I actually had to get on the ladder and replace one of the light bulbs because my manager was scared.
And you did that?
Yeah.
Well, look at you go.
I watched Captain Corelli's Mandolin at 4 o'clock in the morning because the manager was... You couldn't have one person in the building at once for some reason. And the manager was splicing the film together.
Wow.
So I watched it at 4 o'clock in the morning.
What's the craziest thing that ever happened at the movie theater?
I mean, the air conditioner broke. So we had to give a bunch of people a refund. It's a very old building.
12:35 the time. Well, I'm glad you took us there on that journey. I forgot that you worked at a movie theater at one point. Did you have to wear like a uniform?
Yeah, I think I wore a shirt or something.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad you wore a shirt. 35 after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Time was drifting. This rock got to roll. So I hit the road and made my getaway.
It is a Top Text Tuesday, thanks to our friends at Diamond Valley Collectibles. If you guys want to get in on this, I got a $20 gift certificate. Best text of the day. Got some good ones so far. Anybody sticking out, Mike?
Anyone that mentions me in a positive light, I think, should get it.
Smitty texting in on the CSU conversation from earlier. What's important? Recruiting, recruiting, recruiting. The fact we have very few NFL caliber players is what sunk Jay's tenure at CSU. I think that's part of it. I still think that the way he handled the quarterback situation was bad. If you have a great quarterback, that covers up so many different things. And the fact is, you just didn't have great quarterback play. You know, Clay wasn't good. BFN turned out to not be good. And that's kind of, I think that's part of it, too. Yeah, you don't have NFL guys. You don't have, Torrey Horton was a great get for Jay in Nevada. And then Dallin Hulker came over. That was a great get. Defensively, they've had a couple of good players. Owen Long is a really good player. But you got to have a lot more big names, and the Rams just don't have them. He said, Chris, so snow guns will be utilized since we have global warming. Oh, on the snow day thing? Yes, they're not going to have snow, so they're going to have to make snow. Faith says the progressions and rabbit hole conversations on this station are pure gold. I don't know. Aaron's got some good ones. A couple of good texts here. Well, County Swami in the mix. Top Text Tuesday, though. I got a $20 gift certificate for Diamond Valley Collectibles. Legos, Funko Pops, sports memorabilia, sports cards, you name it. They got it. It's only getting better. Got to check that place out. You guys are coming by to pick up your gift cards, too. Let me know when you stop by.
Is it possible to give away two?
Why?
Because they've been bringing it. Listeners have been bringing it today. I feel like we need to give away more than just one. I'm not the authority.
Only do one. We want to pick the winner, Mike. This isn't Orange Slices and Attaboys. This isn't that show. If you're coming for that, then you're at the wrong place. I want Top Text. Top Text Tuesday. $20.
And I just want to be generous to people.
No. It's not how we do it. You got to earn it. You got to earn your prizes here.
I mean, there have been a lot of people who have earned it.
I'm ready to say, speaking of earned it, I'm ready to say Nikola Jokic has earned top five. I think he's one of the best players to ever do it. And he doesn't even look like he's trying right now. 25 points, 19 rebounds, and 10 assists for him last night.
He was all right.
He doesn't even look like he's breaking a sweat.
I don't think he was that good. He should have gotten a triple-triple.
I think he's going to start coasting a little like we used to see LeBron James do. By coasting 36 minutes and a triple-double. I think he's going to have that. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm really, you know, digging the Jonas Valanciunas minutes. It's not amazing, but it's passable. It works. It gives him time. And Jamal Murray vowed at the beginning of the season that he would have a better October and a better November. Take some of that pressure off late in the season. And so far, not bad. Lost one game so far out of three, and that was the overtime game at Golden State. Jamal Murray, though, and Aaron Gordon, both making strong cases for, you know, early All-Star conversations. I know it way too early, and you hate that kind of talk. But the fact that we haven't seen this kind of performance early from Jamal, who's averaging like 25 points a game, I think, at this point, is a very good sign for this team that I still think is trying to figure out who they are. You got a lot of different dudes on this team and a lot more depth. Tim Hardaway Jr. has been good. He played 30 minutes last night. He had 20 points. His plus minus was plus 25. He's put together some great minutes for you. Bruce Brown, you know, I think most of it is just I like seeing him out there. Handles the ball well. Not lighting up the scoreboard. But a game like last night where you beat Minnesota 127-114, you got a chance to see a lot of different dudes coming in. But I still don't think we've got a full idea of how Adelman's going to run this thing. We're waiting to see Cam Johnson kind of get going a little bit. He's a little, Derbs and I were talking, a little handsy. You know, he's fouling a lot right now. Christian Brown's kind of had a slow start to the season. You know, he did have 20 against Phoenix, but 6 against Golden State and 7 against Minnesota. I like seeing him bring the ball up the floor, too. They're trying a bunch of different combinations there. But, yeah, so far so good. But Joker's just we just run out. You just kind of run out of things to say about the dude. And I think the fact now that he has a true center, a true backup center, is going to pay off in a big way when we get to the playoff push. So that's going to be fun. He said, Chris, I haven't really watched Nuggets yet. What's the backup situation looking like? Well, so far, pretty good. Like Jonas isn't going to light it up, but he's going to play solid defense for you. He has the ability to take outside shots, which does free up the paint a little bit. Tim Hardaway Jr. has been solid. Peyton Watson was really good last night. He had two threes later in that game to kind of put this one away. And Denver ran away with it. Minnesota didn't have Ant-Man last night, but still, you gotta win those games. You gotta win the games you're supposed to win. And there was a moment in the second period when they were outscored 35-23. I thought this looks a lot like a Michael Malone team. Games you're supposed to win, run away with. Their superstars out, and you look discombobulated. But something changed at halftime, and Denver outscored Minnesota 45-29 in the third period.
Did you say Ant-Man?
I did.
Ooh, Marvel!
No, it's one of the best players in the NBA.
Ooh, Marvel.
Anthony Edwards, one of the best players in the NBA. You went there with your little comic book world.
Marvel.
I'm talking about a player that plays in the NBA, and his nickname is Ant-Man.
Ooh, Marvel.
What are you doing? Why are you? What has happened to you? Are you okay?
Brady, I got up very early this morning.
Oh, that's the excuse. Okay, yeah, right. What's this?
It's a good excuse.
You are the Marvel guy. Everyone knows that. You're obsessed with it, and you watch Star Trek all the time. And
I'm more obsessed with Star Trek than I am Marvel.
I didn't even think Star Trek was going anymore.
Yeah, they're still making movies? A bunch of series.
Oh, they are? They're still making those?
Yeah, they got a new one coming in January.
Get it right, okay? I need to know so I can avoid it at all costs. I need
well,
to know when it's on.
Well, then don't get Paramount Plus.
I won't. For that reason, I will not get it. Feeling good around here, though, with our professional teams. The Avs kind of dropped a bit, but they're back at it tonight. So, I don't know. I told Mike I'd watch the World Series, but I'm probably going to watch the Avalanche.
You know what you could do?
Watch both.
Yeah,
suck at watching
just
both.
Just do that. Or can watch the World Series and listen to the Avalanche on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
1248 the time. There you go. We got the Avs on KFK tonight. Looking forward to that because Connor McGahee, is he not like one of the best? He's one of the best, isn't he? He's entertaining
as
hell.
He is the best.
Is he? You think he's the best?
Because I love puns. That man
he
is
does
a genius.
It in a great way, though, that doesn't take him away from the broadcast. Like when you throw him out there, it just shoots it down. We'll be riding on a great topic, and then you just, he's not certain to play the next couple of weeks. And then that just kills it.
I certainly do that sometimes.
49 after the hour. Let's take a break, thankfully. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Top Text Tuesday, bring it. Give me your thoughts on whatever. CSU, they got smoked in the border war. Your thoughts on the Broncos. Are they contenders? Are the Broncos Super Bowl contenders after starting the season 6-2? We'll be right back.
It's October, and Good Morning NoCo is scary good. Weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Halloween is on Friday, and On the Rocks Liquor has the hookup. They got Halloween sales ramping up like crazy with deals throughout the store on beer, wine, and spirits. Scary good deals on Fireball and Buzz Balls, sure to make you howl. Swing by today and see what's new at On the Rocks Liquor. You a big Halloween guy, Mike?
I'm big into the candy.
I like Halloween. I like going to fall festivals, and I kind of like having scary movies on TV, but not scary movies. You know what I mean? Like the 80s.
Not freaky movies?
Like 80s movies. Like Freddy Krueger and Chucky and Children of the Corn, Pet Cemetery.
There's one we reviewed on the morning show a few months back, and it was really, really good. It wasn't scary at all, but Tanner was afraid.
I don't like the really, like, the new age stuff is too much for me, man.
I don't find them entertaining, but
they're too scary.
The characters were really compelling.
1255 the time. Buy or sell coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.